Hello and welcome to the new
sports.
Sports something podcast. No name yet. Soon.
The new value for value style sports podcast. The
first value for value podcast. I mean sports podcast.
There's lots of fun.
By the way, I'm J Dog.
By the way, I'm Cousin Mike. Oh, lots of fun sports topics going on right now, aren't there, Jacob?
Yeah, it's mostly in the off season for most. J-Dog Sports.
There you go.
It's mostly in the off season for most of sports right now, except for hockey. It's ending into the playoffs soon. But first thing that I'd like to get into is NCAA. And let's talk about Alabama. Do you think they're going to be worse, better, the same?
It's hard to say because they've got the whole, the main thing happening this time that is significantly different is the coaching change. You know, Saban retires, and then they get Kalen DeBoer from Washington, and it's like, it seems like it could be, you know, could be a wide range of different outcomes. Like, could be really bad, like way bad by Alabama standards. But I kind of expect them to be pretty good because typically, you know, they're not going to have any lack of talent or motivated players. You know, they're going to have the tools to work with for the new coaching staff. It's just kind of sometimes, especially when you're like the guy following the greatest of all time. You know, it's not quite as easy for you. You know, success doesn't just kind of happen. You're kind of held to that same standard. So I think that'll be the kind of main thing where Alabama fans are going to have to, for the first time in a long time, kind of be forced to readjust their expectations.
Finally.
And I don't think that's going to work very well for them in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Milroe is still there, right? He's not.
Yeah, he is. But I think they've got like, I would be shocked if they didn't like try and bring in as many other people as they could. You know, I think they actually did have, I was just double checking to see, they had a transfer in, I believe, but it wasn't like someone who was, you know, obviously better. It seemed like it was someone on Milroe's level. Well, what do you think? I mean, do you feel like Jalen Hurts is going to be able to be an effective passer to the extent that he can kind of, you know, be successful? I mean, it's probably going to depend on the new coaching staff, but what do you think? What do you think is going to happen at the quarterback position?
Jalen Hurts?
No, Jalen Milroe.
Oh, you said Hurts, but yeah.
Oh, did I?
I think he's going to have kind of the same season. I mean, he's not, didn't he lose one receiver? He transferred to Texas. The one with that crazy like fourth and something long play.
I think they did, yeah.
I mean, he's losing,
but
like,
yeah, he's got good receivers, I think, still, right?
Yeah,
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, he has a good offensive beside him. I mean, the only
supporting
thing,
cast. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, the defense I could see crumble at times. But it's also really strong. But I don't know. Just seeing Alabama without Nick Saban just makes you like, huh, maybe.
Yep. It's going to be, well, I mean, I think you got to think that they're, I mean, I'd be curious how people think they're going to finish on the seas, you know, in the standings. Because, you know, Georgia's got to be the favorite in the SEC. And then, of course, you got Texas in there, too. Texas is probably going to be top three-ish in expected finish. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, what's a reasonable expectation for Alabama? Third or fourth? Or, you know, do they get that benefit of the doubt?
Yeah. I think they'll still continue to maybe be fourth, fifth. I don't think they're going to be second. Not at all. But do you think Michigan...
Yeah, I think that would...
Do you think Michigan? Oh wait, go keep going.
No, you're good. I was just gonna say it. it's been like forever. The whole time Saban was there, he would be, you know, he would win it a lot. And if he didn't, it was like second, you know, it was very rare. He was, you know, further down the second, like probably single digits of years since when he was there, since forever. So it'll be an adjustment, I guess, is the main theme, I think, will be for Alabama. It'll be an adjustment.
Yeah. So what do you think about Michigan with Harbaugh leaving too, or however you say his name?
Well, I think that they're going to have an adjustment period too, but I feel like the fans kind of know that, and also, you know, they won the whole thing this last season, so you know, that'll go a long way for the fans, you know, and plus, you know, I feel like it was, you know, if you're going to go, all things considered, you know, and I would have wished he would stay, Harbaugh. You know, you might as well go while you're on top. You know, it would be easy for, you know, him to win this year and then come back and then maybe like stay 2-3 more years. And then like maybe not, let's say they didn't like win the conference a year or two. People would be back to asking questions and then he would be like held to a higher standard. But, you know, as he can just kind of ride off into the sunset while he's on top, you know, it kind of gives everyone else you know, it's kind of the natural order of things. Like he's got a new coach, Sherrone Moore, who, you know, he came up, he's like Harbaugh coaching tree. I don't think he's, you know, his main coaching accomplishments have come in his time in the program. And so it's kind of cool that, you know, a lot of the program seems to be pretty happy with him, you know, taking over since they lost their guy, you know.
Yeah.
So he'll have, you know, I don't feel like he'll be held to the same standard, although, you know, the stakes will be raised now. But it's, you know, it's cool because it's like the, you know, the main thing going on in all of college football right now is the transition between, I think, what will be referred to as the bowl era, you know, where, you know, it's the bowl era kind of started out when my dad was a kid, like when your grandpa was a kid, probably sometime around, I don't know, the 70s or 80s is when it kind of came around. But then with the big TV contracts and stuff, it really kicked in. You know, there's probably like 60 or so bowls, you know, that's probably an exaggeration. It's probably like 30 or 40 bowl games where they can take like half of the 130 teams and everyone plays. Like all you have to do is go 6-6. If you're 500 team, then you get to go to a bowl game. And, you know, there's like the Camping World Bowl. And there's so many just random name bowl games that was kind of for a long time before the playoff. The playoff only came in, I believe, within the past 10 years. The 4-team playoff. Before that, it was the BCS, and that was when you basically let the computer decide who the top two teams were and let them play a bowl game against each other for the national championship, which, you know, some people I think pretend like they like that better because they were against the playoff at first. But there were things happening in that with like an undefeated team getting left out of the top two. And it's not because the other two had, you know, were also undefeated. It was because, you know, it was for whatever reason. So the playoff, the 4-team playoff was definitely a welcome change. And it also kind of started morphing it into what we're now going to see as like a 14-team playoff, perhaps as early as next year, which, you know, we'll see. But there's big changes. So I think the main thing going on in college football is that there is it's a change of era. You know, it was the bowl era, which at the end of the bowl era was kind of the beginning of the playoff era when it was just four teams. But now it's going to be like the playoff era where I think it's going to change into, and especially with all the different rule changes, like with NIL, where players can get compensated for their likeness. You know, that's such an odd kind of business arrangement that there's probably going to be a lot of other changes that happen kind of behind the scenes, where you'll kind of still see a familiar looking football team on Saturday on the TV, but you know, behind the scenes, like the process of you know, who goes where, which players go where, how much they get paid, who pays them, you know, their eligibility and all that stuff, where, you know, who they decide to go play for, that I feel like that's all going to kind of be way different than it has been in the past. You know, they used to, players used to be locked into four-year scholarships and weren't allowed to transfer. And now, just within the past like 5 years, they can transfer whenever they want. They don't really need to do a reason. They can get paid, which, you know, they used to get in big trouble for back in the day. So it'll be a big change. What do you think? I mean, I'm talking over here for about a half an hour, it feels like, but I want to hear what you think. What do you think the kind of main, well, let me ask, here's a good way to ask you. What is your favorite thing about college football in, you know, what we all know as kind of the bowl era? Because neither of us are old enough to know, to be familiar with it beyond the bowl era. But what sticks out to you as a sport? Because it's kind of a unique sport considering it compared to all the other pro, you know, all the pro sports. What's unique about it to you? What do you like about it?
Yeah, well, I agree with what you said about about times are changing, and what's unique? Yeah, it's been a new era. You know, it's like times are changing. Like dynasties, wait, nope. Yeah, dynasties are starting.
Yeah, yeah. Because back in the day, it used to be like you could, you know, Alabama and big teams, when before there was a scholarship limit, they would just like put all the good players in their area on scholarship, whether they thought they were going to play or not, just so that the other teams couldn't get those next good players. You know,
yeah. It's
so it's like they could just stack the whole thing, and then of course they had all those, they had scholarship limitations, so that kind of evened it out a little bit, I guess. But it was still kind of an imbalance. I think that's that's kind of the main thing, where now players want to go where they can play and where they can get paid, and I think it's more of a it has like a effect of spreading the talent around and making it more competitive and less kind of dynasty style.
Yeah, like I was trying to say, but yeah, with all the players leaving, and she wrote like the new 2-minute timeout rule, where the like the quarterback can have like some weird like a kind of like a, oh, what's it called? Like Mike?
Yeah, it says it says 2-minute timeout. It says the committee, this is from the NCAA Football Rules Committee, proposing optional technology rules for the 2024 season. It says adding an automatic timeout when 2 minutes remain in the second and fourth quarters. So I assume that just means the same as the NFL, where it's just an automatic clock stoppage at 2 minutes. It says this synchronizes all timing rules, such as 10-second runoffs and stopping the clock when the first down is gained in bounds. Allow end-of-half game timing rules to be simplified and sync up with this timeout. It says also broadcast partners, it will help avoid back-to-back media timeouts. That's kind of a thing that a lot of people complain about in college football, is it, like the games take 3.5-4 hours, and then it's like touchdown, yay, commercial, and then come back to the game, kick extra point, commercial, and then kickoff, commercial, and then they start the next series. It's like quite ridiculous. So yeah, you know, it's basically going to turn into pro football, like NFL style.
Yeah, which,
you know,
I like it.
It's all right. It's always been mini NFL.
Yeah, the minor leagues.
And some of the rules I like. Some of the rules I like better, probably in college. I think the college overtime is more fun.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's the NFL changed their playoff rules for their rules in the playoff for overtime, that like each team gets a drive, but then a from a like it's a kickoff and all that. They both get a chance, but then after that, and pretty, it's who scores first. Like, I like college football. It's way more exciting. Like, I remember I was watching like the Bearcats and the Bearcats and the other Cincinnati team. I forgot, not Cincinnati, Ohio team. It's like there's so much action. It's much more rough, exciting than to watch, like, the Chiefs to go down like one drive and win.
Yeah, that was just aggravating because everyone knew what was going to happen. But yeah, the college football, it's more fun to have, like, you know, the game decided in the red zone. You know, it's like fast forward through the, you know, getting across the 50 and all the punting that would be involved in order to get a red zone opportunity. You know, it's like, yeah, we appreciate defense, but we also kind of, you've had 60 minutes to play and we got to kind of see this thing end. So we don't want to have a punt fest for overtime.
Yeah. So
I also saw they were going to do microphones.
That's what I was trying to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Which makes sense, so that you don't have like sign language going on the whole game, people yelling in sign language at each other the whole game from the sideline. Although sometimes that can be entertaining, especially with the big signs. You've seen the big signs they have with the little like emojis and little pictures on them to like be their code for their plays. I don't know, there's something that's just kind of endearing about that just because it's so goofy. But, you know, it makes way more sense to do the headset thing. So, yeah, it'll be a lot different, I predict, next season. I think you'll see a lot of the kind of same faces, but I think it'll be a lot different.
Yeah, to wrap up NCAA, I want to talk about the draft, the NFL draft. And who do you think is going to go first? Is it Caleb Williams or is it May? Well, it depends. I think May is totally underrated in the draft. They put Williams always way above him.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to be actually a pretty decent set of quarterbacks because also Michael Penix is pretty good too. It's just like whether he can stay healthy. He can throw it really well. Holy crap, sorry. Something was loud there in my headphones. I was trying to look for I would say probably Caleb Williams will go first, although it kind of wouldn't surprise me if there was like a, you know, someone out of left field going first. You know, I've seen it suggested that maybe Jaden Daniels, but I don't quite.
He won the Heisman, right?
Yeah, he did. Really? So, you know, I mean, yeah, he won it, and his team, I think he was the first kind of Heisman winner to win on a team that had like four losses. He played out of his mind, and he was throwing downfield like crazy. And of course, he had like nuts wide receivers like Malik Nabers, and you know, he's projected top five pick, and he had a lot of good receivers there at
and he was a
LSU.
Good scrambler.
Yeah, he was a really good scrambler. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying is that it wouldn't surprise me if there was like a out of left field type of pick. But yeah, I'm looking at mock draft right now. It looks like they think three QBs in a row: Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. and Neighbors, a couple of receivers, three receivers. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a draft class where, you know, I would say that what everyone kind of thinks Caleb Williams is the number one prospect, but also I think most people think he's not like bust proof. You know, he could kind of, you know, you could kind of see where, you know, his style of kind of just running around crazy and launching, you know, lasers from every angle, you know, that makes you think obviously he has the ability to exceed, but a lot of it kind of depends too on kind of the system he's put in and whether he can adjust to the, you know, mental side of, you know, NFL defenses as opposed to college. You know, no one's bust proof, I think, at the top end of this. So
we saw that happen. We saw that happen with Bryce Young.
Yeah, he was interesting because, you know, he was really good at, you know, the kind of wisdom of playing the position. Like he would know when to take risks. He was really accurate. You know, he was really slippery in the pocket. Wasn't going to get tackled easy. You know, he wasn't big though. So it's not like he was going to kind of like just know that he, at some point he could like, you know, lower his shoulder and run somebody over to get a first down. He wasn't like that. So he had to kind of use his, you know, his anticipation and his kind of mental side of his ability to be really successful. And he did, you know, he was, he won the Heisman and he won the national title with Alabama. And, you know, he's about all, he was about as kind of aware and, you know, mentally able, you know, a lot of mental capacity for a quarterback that you could find out of college. And, you know, I don't know, I guess so far in his career, his size is kind of his downfall, right? It's just kind of, he wasn't able to kind of replicate that type of performing at the NFL level. But, you know, I think he's still got time. I mean, he could, you know, he's still got the tools. I think he's still, he may be able to kind of even, you know, keep growing and kind of get stronger and, you know, be more durable. I don't know, you know, he's still young, but yeah, I mean, if you were redrafting, you wouldn't think he'd go number one overall. You know, he'd obviously be CJ Stroud, I think, you know, who went two, and he's, you know, it's interesting how they're night and day quarterbacks in NFL right now, but in college they were kind of very similar, you know?
Yeah, Stroud was so underrated in the draft. Like, I get Bryce Young was amazing, but...
Well, he wasn't that underrated. I mean, he went two overall.
Well,
I mean, he went number two.
Well, I've heard like so many people saying Stroud isn't good, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think Stroud had some like doubters in the draft process. I think he did for sure. But I mean, if you saw him play in college, he was always really accurate and was really never late on throws. Like, I feel like if you're a quarterback and you're accurate and on time, you know, you can go a long way, even if you have like average other physical qualities. You know, if you have the mental capacity to put it in the right place and the ability to deliver it at the right time, the right place at the right time, that's like 85 to 90% of playing the position. You know, you're responsible for other things too, but that if you can like do that consistently and put your guys in a position to be productive consistently, you know, you don't have to be, you know, Josh Allen body style. You know, you don't have to be Cam Newton physical ability. You just have to kind of be enough, you know, to make that happen, which, you know, I don't know. But yeah, CJ Stroud was really good. He was super accurate and threw with good timing. And so, you know, I don't know if I thought he would be as successful as he has been in NFL as early, but yeah, it's not surprising. It's a little bit more surprising that Bryce Young isn't being more successful, to be honest.
I mean, he has some receivers. He has Adam Thielen.
Yeah, Carolina's not like the greatest roster either. So, you know, it got to cut him some slack there.
So I think that'll wrap up college football. And then hang on to NHL where Bedard. Okay, on to NFL. I'm joking. NHL, it's been a really weird season. A lot of dips and highs, and a lot of teams, and most consistent, of course, is the Panthers. And I'm just thinking, the best teams in January have been the Red Wings and the Panthers, and these are two really scary teams because Boston is slowing down. They lost, and Canucks are slowing down. They lost to the Kings. And then the Bruins are losing to some pretty weird teams.
And what about Vegas? You know, they were so good last year, and they struggling this year.
Yeah, Vegas. What's up with that? Vegas has been they're a top 10 team, but they haven't played as well as they were expected to in that run.
Yeah, top 10, as in 10.
Oh, really?
Literally 10th. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got 73 points in the standings, and they've played 60 games. But, you know, they were kind of a little... It was fun last year because it was like Panthers were just, you know, throwing haymakers above their weight, you know, as kind of a top-to-bottom roster. Weren't they the 8th seed?
Yeah, they were the 8th versus the 1st, just like the Heat.
Yeah. Yeah, and they just got into the playoffs and they were just throwing elbows the whole way, and you know, they got all the way to the end and they were still throwing elbows against Vegas, and Vegas had a little bit more kind of durability and was able to throw back kind of the same way. It was hilarious watching the Panthers Leafs, you know, because it was like Leafs, they're in the playoffs. Didn't they make it to the second round for like the first time in forever?
Yeah. We want then, Florida.
Yeah, exactly. And then Florida was like throwing elbows from the jump. And then and then beat them in overtime. That was pretty epic.
Oh, wait, from the chat. I'm going to interrupt you there, kind of. I thought you were done. What is from the chat room, Sir Dorfy said, wait, football, one question from Sports Troll. What's it like having three younger sisters obsessed with Taylor Swift and Kansas City winning the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl, that's my favorite.
Kansas City.
Well, that's a question for you, right, Jake?
Yeah, it's for me. Taylor Swift rigged it all. It was all a scam, just like the NFL.
She's the mastermind.
Yep, she's going to break up with Travis Kelce next season because he have a horrible season, and then she's going to write a song about it. That's my prediction.
It's like that meme of the two like kind of oil painting style, really strong biblical style, really muscular arms, like doing the handshake in the middle where it's like united, where it's like Taylor Swift, you know, NFL united. And then like fans is like getting screwed. Let the rigging commence.
And like everybody is at school.
Taylor
like,
and her boyfriend.
Everybody at my school is like, no, it wasn't rigged. It's not scripted. And it's like, okay. Just for Taylor Swift to come out of nowhere from like, yeah, this makes sense. But back to hockey. Sorry, interrupt that. But it looks like the President's Trophy, as I'm being non-biased here, is probably going to the Florida Panthers. They're just so consistent. And Boston, Panthers can play any kind of style. That's why they're so good. They could play gritty. They could play offensively. They could play defensively. They could play any kind of hockey and match that. And they have so much offensive talent back in like...
They're also offensive.
Yeah. Back in 2021, they, when Paul Maurice was in the coach and they were just... They just kind of skated into the zone and scored. They had such a good rushing, enter the zone kind of thing happening. Then when Paul Maurice joined in 2022, they got the 8th seed. They were the President's Trophy right before. Then they kind of sucked all season, somehow made it into the playoffs. But then just at the right time, everything clicked on how their style of gritty hockey should play. And that's why I think... Other team,
the gritty hockey, as in doing the gritty.
Yeah, he's literally doing the gritty. Yeah, grit. Yeah, grit.
Oh.
But another thing I want to talk about. It's good. Is either can Ovechkin break the record for all time goals because he's taking a stutter right now.
Oh man, I saw a thing where it was like comparing Ovechkin and Crosby in like a line graph. They're just points like as they played games and as the years progressed. And it was like all the way through all the games up until now. I was just pulling it up now. I think within fairly recently, they both had the exact same number of points total in their career. Like literally identical. 1423, I think it was. Let me see if I can see if I can find this stat.
Yeah, but people are saying like all the hockey YouTubers are like they're coming in saying like Ovechkin has played horrible this season and he's like not a good goal scorer. I think he just took a step back personally. I mean, he's still he's racking up tons of assists and he still kind of scores now and then.
Yeah. Yeah, so Sidney Crosby is number 12 all time in total points, 1,564. Ovechkin's at 1,528. So Crosby's got him by, what, 36? at the moment. And, you know, I would say probably Crosby is like the, like if you drew up a hockey player in a lab and you didn't screw it up, you got something like Sidney Crosby. You know, he's like
a fountain of
like
youth.
He's like every attribute you could have in a video game hockey player. He's like 95. You know, let's say there's 8 different attributes. He's like 95 on all of them.
Yeah, he'd probably be in the Buffalo Butchins locker room.
Yeah, someone had got him on a playing card.
But also, I saw another thing in the NHL. Utah has approved NBA/NHL stadium to be built in Utah. So the NHL is always expanding.
Hockey?
Yeah, for hockey. And it looks like there's probably going to be a new team in Utah. Out of all states.
Like expansion?
Yeah.
Or a move?
Expansion.
Hmm.
I mean, it could be a move because Arizona is playing always a bad team. Or the Sharks been playing real bad. But then the last thing I want to talk about in hockey is Tennessee does have a hockey team, Sir Labre, the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, and sometimes the Nashville Predators, they play interleague games versus the Murfreesboro Dorfels.
Yeah. The Murfreesboro family Dorfel village ice hockey team.
I feel like there could be there's going to have to be a Jimmy V Dorfels hockey episode.
Yep, Jimmy V, we're going to invite you. And Missouri does have a hockey team, the St. Louis Blues, Sir Libre. But, there's two more things. MacKinnon and Kucherov both have 100 points, and then McDavid is behind 10. And I think McDavid can catch up to them if he continues his play. He has, like, 3 assists a game, a goal a game. Like, he's averaging, like, 4 points a game. It's crazy.
You know what's funny about McDavid is he's like, you know, anyone who was going to do, let's say you're going to do a draft of the best players of the last 5 years, right? Like, let's say you would rank them. You'd have to put McDavid like at the top, right?
Yeah,
I mean, of all hockey players for the last 5 years, he's the one that has the most kind of ability just to take the puck and take it to the net and go through everybody and score. Yeah, like, he does that the most out of anybody. And that's kind of, you know, it's tough to think of a more valuable skill in a hockey player than being able to, like, walk through the defense at will and roof it on the goalie. But my point is that it's funny to me how he's, you know, he's been totally closed out of the playoff party compared to all the other good players. Like, yeah. So many, there's no other like super good player that's been completely left out of like being anywhere relevant in the playoffs. Like, even you could say maybe what's his face from Buffalo that went to Vegas?
Eichel.
Yeah, Eichel. You could say that he was kind of maybe 85% of that, of McDavid level, where he was still kind of like marginally a superstar by the league standard or so. But he, you know, he never really sniffed, and he always had a pouty attitude about it. And I feel like McDavid is like trying his best not to be the pouty guy on the team. But I feel like he really probably feels left out as far as his, you know, career accomplishments, because he's done jack squat in playoffs.
Yeah, the farthest I think they made it was the second round. And all the times they've been to the playoffs. And that was last year. But yeah, one more thing with NHL is Connor Bedard. The best hockey player to ever hockey player in the NHL.
He's who might not be sniffing the playoffs for the next 5 years.
Yeah. No, but I think Bedard is good. He's definitely what you want from a first-round pick. He's not Gretzky, though.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go. Was done.
I was just gonna say he, you know, hockey players, it seems like they get drafted, like the best ones, they get drafted probably when they're drafted, they're like, or they hit their career peak. You know, you could probably say most of the best ones hit their career peak like two or three years after they're drafted, you know, after they've kind of adjusted and like gotten stronger since they've just been grown. Because what hockey players basically get drafted when they're like 18 or 19, right? So, you know, you got a lot of growing that still happens. So I think Bedard is going to be one of those guys that is going to grow into, you know, being better. He's obviously got, you know, the high end skill talent, but, you know, he can get pushed around. He's not, he's not the biggest guy. So, you know, he's going to probably get a little faster, get a little bigger, get a little stronger. And in the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, maybe he'll have his career peak. And maybe by then the Blackhawks will have their act together and they can get him some help.
Yep. Know what they need, though? They need the Patrick Kane.
That's right.
The Patrick Kane, Detroit Patrick Kane.
Did you see that that breakaway goal in overtime?
Yeah, Patrick.
That Kane scored?
That was the best.
In his return to Colorado, or to Chicago?
Yeah, that was... It was like 7 hour long standing ovation.
yeah, that was pretty classic.
That's the that's it for NHL I have. In NFL, it's not really much to do about.
Well, it's peak off season right now, right? Yeah. It's a combine. It's NFL draft. You know, some people, it's crazy how many people watch the NFL draft actually. But I think it's mostly because it's the overlap where I would say probably most people, most football fans are college and pro, maybe like 60-40 to one or the other. But I feel like some either watch only pro and some just mainly just watch college, probably more watch only pro. But both of those extremes tune in for the draft. You know, it's pretty nuts how much of a TV production it's become. You know, it used to be kind of just a less of a production, and now it's like a huge in-person event and like a TV special about it. It's like the first round is a primetime TV event, and the second and third round is a separate primetime TV event, you know.
Yeah, and like Super Bowl ads, like they have like a whole betting thing for a guy to make a field goal that's not even like playing football anymore. It's like just been that's why I've been watching college more, because the NFL is just covered in ads and sponsors. And
yeah, I think I like watching college better just a little bit, because you kind of get to know the personality of you like kind of get to know the, you know, the style of the player and the personality of the individual player. And then when they go to NFL, it's fun to watch them, but I kind of find myself viewing them as an NFL player through the lens of when I remember them watching them in college. You know what I mean? I don't know why. It's just that it's, I don't know. It's more of a, it's less of a dynasty style in NFL, and the kind of the dynasty style of college makes it a little bit more fun. Although I kind of welcome the dynasty style of college makes it to be kind of a more consistent storyline. You know, it's like we expect the main teams to be good, and when one of them isn't, it's like it becomes a story, you know, and people, you know, add extra significance to it. But NFL is like way more corporate, and everything is so evened out, and everything is like zeroed down to exact competition levels, and I don't know, it's less chaotic. So yeah. You know, I guess we're back to kind of, I don't know if we talked about which one we like better earlier, but I don't know, that's what I like about college, and it's less of that in NFL.
Yeah, but one thing about NFL is Stephon Diggs for the Bills, there is rumors and probably the possibility that most of the Bills receiving core is leaving Buffalo for cap space, and mainly just cap space, because Diggs is being pretty sure Diggs is supposed to be traded for a cornerback, something like that.
Just do it Aaron Rodgers style with what's his name, Josh Allen, and have him carry the load and throw the guys open and stuff.
Yeah, but it's gonna be real weird season without Diggs and Davis. And most NFL teams, they're doing crazy. There's not The only team that I see that could go down is like the Panthers, and then I know, probably just the Panthers. They suck. And the Chiefs.
Well, you know, you could probably, if you're Buffalo, or, you know, a team, you can kind of, you got to have to kind of decide when you clear cap space, and if you can get a good receiver or a good player in the draft for, like, what do they get? First round draft picks get like 4 years, and then the team has an option for a fifth, I think. So it's like, you know, you can get a really good player for pretty cheap while he's, you know, opposite from NHL. When football players come in, they're like the best they're going to be, most of them, like within 2-3 years, let's say, because, you know, they get drafted a little older because you have to be 3 years out of high school, I think, is the rule. So most players are like 21 by the time they get drafted in NFL, as opposed to hockey. So where, you know, you reach your physical peak, let's say, like between 24 and 25, maybe. But NFL is like way different. You know, you got to be just a freak of nature in order to be even the conversation of having the, you know, ability to operate at that level, you know. So you can get, you know, a really good player in college at the top end of the draft for relatively cheap. So, you know, lots of those GMs are trying to make that decision on who they can let go and replace with, you know, someone who's younger and cheaper for a shorter period of time.
Yeah, well, one more thing. We, what's a value for value?
Well, it is what you make of it. It's a mindset. Value for value is a way of life. Is that fair to say?
I guess so. Yeah.
Value is the exchange. It's the reciprocation of appreciation. If you feel like you have enjoyed any part of the conversation today, or if, you know, if you feel like you would like to encourage it or facilitate it continuing, then we would appreciate it if you would just let us know, right? Provide some value, whether it be feedback or monetary value or just banter. I consider that valuable as well. So if you would like to just basically interact in the show, then we would encourage that. I think that's at least a short way to summarize V for V. What do you think, Jake? What's V for V for you?
Listening is value. Interacting is value. Boosts our value.
Yeah, but what do you think?
But, it's a great way to support artists on not big stream media like Spotify and Amazon Music, all that stuff, and it's easy to give and show support that you have support for. You, what you listen to, you want to show that it gave value to you, and that also shows that the person who made it can see that they gave someone value.
Yeah, it's like encouragement, right? He's like, it's a show, sign of encouragement. You want someone else to continue doing what you're doing. So you do, you know, a micro encouragement, you know, you reciprocate value. So, yeah. So everyone totally understands now. Everyone understands completely. Everyone gets it. No one will have any questions, right?
Yeah. Make sure to get Fountain too, if you want an easy way or podcast and podcast guru. Fountain is free. Mm-hmm. And Fountain, you can get Satoshi's type of Bitcoin for free if you just listen. It does, but at certain times it can give you Satoshis.
Right. It's the next level of podcasting. You have been, you out there in normie land, you've been listening to your Apple podcasts and, thinking that this is just the new way it is. Everyone listens to the same podcast and on the same app and everything, but little do you know, there is a world out there with podcasting features that are beyond what Apple is capable of delivering to your device. Chapters, remote items, transcripts, podcasts that stream live, there's a lot of things out there, aren't there? So fountain is a fun way to experience basically all of that. And I think if you really want a glimpse into the future, you want to check out radio.fountain.fm, where you'll see a newfangled little jukebox style community listening party. Is the best way I can describe it. So you just go on there and radio.fountain.fm and just take a gander and chit chat with the chat bots.
Yeah, boost 10,000 sets if you think the Panthers will win the Stanley Cup. And boost 100,000 sets if you think Caleb Williams will go first. Then if you're correct, we won't give you anything back.
Yeah, let's say Caleb Williams, first overall, minus 500. That would mean that if you think it's going to be someone else other than Caleb Williams, the field, anyone else, you could say, you would have to bet $100 to win 500.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think
that would be what I would set the odds at. Although maybe I should look him up. Carry on.
Yeah, I think we're going to wrap it up in just a sec. If Cousin Mike, if you don't have anything left to say except for that, spread. You'll say in a sec.
Nope, just, you know, making the most of the off season, most that you can out of it. And, you know, there'll be stuff to chit-chat about as we go along. There'll be the draft. There'll be hockey. Playoffs coming up. You know, we're 3/4 of the way through the hockey season, so I expect, you know, we can watch some hockey, chit chat about that. And yeah, draft. I'm sure there'll be just constant random craziness in college football that'll be fun to talk about. So yeah, we'll have plenty of things to talk about on future episodes of the J Dog and Cousin Mike Sportscast Football Show. Wait, we can do better. Sportscast V for V. Powered 2.0 compliant experience.
Dorful/Toshik Village Sports Index Podcast 2.0.
Sports Ball Idiot Stream.
Sports Ball Idiots. That's a name. Okay, well, this has been J Dog Sports with J Dog and Cousin Mike.
There you go. The J-Dog Sports Network with Justin Mike.
Y'all have a good day out there. And yeah.